Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, so a lot of the movies that we've watched have super Christmassy titles, but then tend to have very little to do with Christmas.
Yes.
This one is quite Christmassy.
Very much so.
And yes, has a title that has nothing to do with Christmas. The title of this one is Love Hard, which sounds to me like a porno film.
It very much so.
Yeah. Does. Yeah, it does.
When you told me to watch it, mm-hmm. It was referred to me by a lot of my friends.
Oh, so yeah.
So this one definitely was on the radar for me.
Yes. I was interested in it because Jimmy Yang was in it, and he's a very funny comedian.
Yep.
And we saw him in something else too. He was
in El Camino Christmas.
Right.
He was the cameraman for Jessica Alba.
Right. So I was interested to see if he would redeem himself in this. I'm going to start by saying I actually enjoyed this all the way through.
I did too.
So I really did actually like this as I watched it.
Yes.
And I think the acting was very strong.
I thought so too.
And I didn't think anybody was a bad actor.
Nope.
So
I had issues with Tag, but I think it was more the character than
Yeah. Acting. So there's a character named Tag, which is absolutely everybody's idea of
bro.
He would seem like maybe he was Sarah Palin's son, Twig or Tig or whatever the hell her son's name is. You know, kind of that like sort of perfect looking outdoorsy, guy. So anyway, yeah, that would be for me an issue as well. So let's start at the beginning. So I really liked the main female character whose name was Natalie. I liked her right from the beginning.
Yep.
And I thought she was funny and interesting. And it turns out she's going on a ton of Tinder dates. I guess I found this sort of relatable for people now. You know, of the things that happened in it are maybe exaggerated, but versions of things that I've seen actually happen.
Well, one of the big reasons why I enjoyed it is that it was very relatable to me.
Yes. So Brendan's been on a lot of bad dates from dating apps. And yeah. So so did I back in the day as well. So, So there's this girl and she's on dating apps and she goes on these terrible dates, but that's okay because she writes about them for a column
right.
in a newspaper and she writes about her terrible dates and people think it's
very popular.
Yeah, very popular. So I'm like, great. I like her. I find that storyline believable.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her sassy work friend.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Her sassy work friend, and she's got her difficult boss.
Yeah, who's a bit flamboyant.
Yeah, he's because again, we're very into having gay and interracial and all kinds of things happening to show how
progressive.
How woke we all are.
Yeah.
So anyway, but she hasn't come up with a column in a couple of weeks because she's tired of going on bad dates.
Yes.
Right. So what is she to do? Well, her work friend, do we have a name for her?
Carrie,
tells her your search is too limited. You're only looking within
5 miles,
yeah. Which she explains because gas is really expensive in LA. So yeah, she doesn't want to go any further than that. But her friend Carrie just opens up her search.
And to the whole country?
To the whole country, because that makes sense. She explains that she had to import her guy from Ohio.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that was the first and only time.
Yeah, that we reference him at all.
Yep.
So, so she meets this guy, Josh. Oh, my God.
She swipes right on Josh, and it's immediate connection.
Oh, they connect over their favorite Christmas movies. His is
Love Actually.
Love Actually. And hers is
Die Hard.
So we love that switch, right? Yep. We're amused. The dialogue between them, I actually liked. I thought, I've seen dialogue like this. This is what happens when you're genuinely connecting with someone. It didn't seem to me stupid or fake or false.
Yeah, it was all, I mean, again, since it's relatable, it's goofy.
Cute and sweet. Like, you could see where they would like each other, right? You're totally buying into this growing relationship.
Yep. The one note I do have is that when they did the voiceover parts, mm-hmm. Josh's voiceover was awful. Not good.
Yeah, not great. Right. But not great. But we're buying that they're falling for each other.
Right.
This is causing problems for her at work because how is she going to write something awful? So correct. She suggests to her boss that maybe she writes about like true love or something could happen. He's like, no, that won't work. Don't jump ahead yet.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. Meanwhile, he says, Josh, to her on text, I wish you were here for Christmas.
Yes.
And here is... Where is here? Where does he live?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's in New York. It's in New York.
Oh, Lake Placid.
Lake Placid.
That's right.
So cold and snowy and the opposite of where she is. She decides to do something wild and crazy with the encouragement of her work friend. She's going to fly out
and
see him.
She's just going to meet him.
Oh, God,
impromptu,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to go. Not let him know. I'm just going to arrive.
Love the way he looks. Love everything we've said to each other.
What could go wrong?
I can't imagine what could go wrong. So there is just one small tropey part. This is the only part that I feel like is really sort of traditional cheesy Christmas movie. And that is when she gets to the airport, which is a rinky-dink place in Lake Placid, they lose her luggage,
yep.
which we never hear about really again.
No, we do. Towards the end.
Yeah, towards the end we hear about it. But there's no explanation of why she suddenly has clothes afterwards. So anyway, she loses her luggage, right? She's frustrated. The guy at the airport is rude and can't help her. And so she calls an Uber. And here's the part where it's super predictable.
This goes back to our very first movie, Christmas Inheritance.
Yeah. So annoying dude at the airport is also the Uber driver. So she tries to call a Lyft. He's also the Lyft driver, and he's the only one in town.
In Lake Placid. And which is weird because as you get into town, it's a very populated area.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the one that's going to take her to Josh's house. Coincidentally, he actually knows who Josh is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is like, say hi to him and give him some pot for me.
He has a pre-rolled joint that he gives to Natalie and says, tell Josh that E-Rock says pass the Dutch.
Yeah, because apparently they smoked a lot of pot together. Which
how can you forget this house?
Right. So she gets dropped off and just shows up at the front door, is greeted by Josh's parents and his grandmother, who are super, super psyched to see her.
Well, she's making no bones about it. She walks in, she gets invited in, and they're like, oh, are you Josh's friend? And she goes, well, maybe more than that.
Yeah, like, we're special. Oh my God, you're the G word. You're his girlfriend. And we know something is amiss by how excited they are seeing what she looks like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so what could possibly happen at this point? Josh comes home, and Brendan, I'll let you take this.
So he comes in and, you know, he walks through the door and the camera does your traditional start at the feet and start panning up. And the music, the background music is all.
And he's got really good jeans and really good boots, yeah, like very similar to,
it's all gonna
to
be,
the guy that we would that we've been seeing.
Right, that you would expect.
Yeah.
And as the camera's going up, the music is very love connection-ish. And then it gets to his face and you feel bad because it's not Josh.
Well, no.
It's not
the guy
dating
she's been
app Josh.
Yeah, it's not dating app Josh. It's actual Josh, who is Jimmy Yang.
Right.
A very goofy young Asian dude.
Right. So the looks department, they are very, very far apart.
Yes.
Talking
and
about
she has been catfished.
Catfished, yep.
Oh my God.
So her initial reaction is, oh, I left my luggage outside, and then just runs,
mm-hmm.
books it.
And then he runs after her, tries to explain himself, and she beats him with the baby Jesus that's in the nativity scene on the front yard of the very overly decorated Lynn house. They're the Lynn family.
And, you know, she drops the, I hate you, I never want to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go on to the next scene, we should take a step back. It needs to be known that Natalie is allergic to kiwis.
Oh, yeah. So that's mentioned three times.
Okay.
It's mentioned three times before this because oddly there's kiwi back where she is and she has to talk about how she's allergic to that. And then weirdly enough, the only Uber driver in town offers her kiwi because he's got some cut kiwi in his car because he has snacks. That's why he's so good. He has snacks. He had Doritos, kiwi, and some other kind of fruit. I can't remember. So we know she's allergic to kiwi. So off she goes. She storms off. Nobody ever needs cars in any of these movies. They're always storming off.
Everything's right around the corner.
Right. Everything's walking distance. So she walks to a bar and she's drowning her sorrows when who should walk in?
But the person that Josh is based on.
Yes. So the pictures she's been seeing of Josh are actually of Tag.
Now, as she's at the bar drinking, there's some bros at the end of the bar being bros. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of, you know, trying to ignore them. But then she notices Tag walk in and Tag walks up to the bros.
Yep. And so he's one of the bros and she's like, oh my God, it's him. So she runs to the bathroom and consults with her
Carrie, her friend.
And Carrie decides she should try to go after the real Tag because this will be a great story for her column. So how do you attract somebody that you don't know, Brendan?
Sexy karaoke.
Sexy karaoke. Absolutely. But she needs
liquid
courage. So she steals some other girls' shots that just got poured for them, a group of like three or four girls.
Yep.
She just downs them with no explanation, no apology, and no anything. Just says she needs them more than they do. And off she goes.
Runs up to the DJ.
Right. It's Christmas karaoke, but she doesn't sing a Christmas song.
Right. I forget the song that she actually
sings.
Oh,
she sings I Would Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. And she starts with her back to the audience, and she's wearing like leather and sexy skirt, and she starts, and they're all like, "Hell yeah!" She's got a great voice.
Yep.
She's wiggling her tiny little bum.
And just for those listening, I don't know her character name in the show, but it's the actress that's in Vampire Diaries, the main actress, Nina something or other.
Okay.
I just want to paint the picture of what's about to happen.
Okay. So super sexy, unbelievable. Tag is all in. He's watching. And then she turns around and everybody gasps.
Yep.
So in case you haven't figured it out yet, the shots she stole have kiwi in them.
Right. So her face is totally blown up.
Yep. She's having an allergic reaction and they all feel sorry for her because they think she's handicapped in some way, which is sort of politically incorrect. She spots herself in the mirror while she's singing. Oh, my God.
Right. But in the meantime, she's danced on the table. She's like gone face to face with some of the dudes. And
been like super sexy, but with a giant
face.
Yep. Now, who's witnessing all this but the actual Josh?
Right, Josh.
Because he has walked in after her and sees this all happening.
He figured out where she was going.
Yeah, I guess.
Strangely enough.
And so she runs out. He follows her with her bag, and they have a moment where they're trying to find her EpiPen so she doesn't die.
Right.
And the next thing you know, she wakes up in a veterinarian office because it was much closer than the doctor's, and for no real reason. That makes no sense to me.
My note is, what the fuck is happening? Right. This whole plot is bonkers.
Right. So that was weird. But Josh has saved her life.
Yes.
So they make a deal right there in the vet office. And the deal is she will pretend to be Josh's girlfriend for the family during Christmas.
Until Christmas Day.
And then they'll have a big breakup.
Yep.
And in exchange, he will help her land Tag.
I wrote how this actually goes.
Okay.
Okay, so the plot of the movie is a guy and girl meet on a dating app, and they live across the country. He suggests they meet for Christmas, so she flies across the country to be catfished. But the guy offers to hook her up with the dude he was pretending to be if she pretends to be Catfish's boyfriend until Christmas.
Yeah, so that's pretty much sums that up. Yeah. So, he basically teaches her everything she needs to know about Tag.
Yep.
And this is where the whole irony thing is this is where we're all supposed to learn a lesson. So she's mad. This is big picture. She's mad at Josh because he catfished her, lied about who he is. And yet she continually lies about who she is to land Tag. So it might not be a looks thing, but it's definitely she pretends to know how to climb, you know, rock climbing. She pretends to like
a hiker.
Yeah, she pretends to hike to like a book by Thoreau that she hates, that's his favorite, that he quotes from. So there's this, all of that is happening. Okay.
So who cries quoting Thoreau?
Yeah. So Tag does.
Well,
So that's all happening. Okay. So meanwhile, Josh and her are bonding.
Yeah.
As friends over all of this, including Josh's secret desire to be a candle maker.
Right.
That makes dude candles.
Right. So because of the deal, Natalie has to stay with Jimmy
in his weird basement apartment.
Yes. So they're connecting.
Mm-hmm. But they really connect when the trope of the difficult brother that he doesn't get along with is the hero of the family that shows up and fucks up everything.
Yes.
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 He comes for Christmas with his little trophy wife and mocks Josh openly and can't believe he's got this girlfriend and basically rips on him in front of her.
On a constant basis.
Yeah. And so she, stands up for him and they bond over that as well. Yeah. So there's lots of bonding. Tag and her are getting to know each other.
It's very subtle. With the looks that they give each other, but it's done in a very subtle way.
Yeah. So they're getting to be actually good friends.
Yeah.
Right? She helps him revamp his online thing so that
she gives him ideas, but that doesn't
happen. Well, and changes the pictures and so she's going to help him find somebody sort of, and then she encourages him about his candle business, which he really wants to do rather than work for his dad. So there's all of that kind of bonding.
Right.
So let's jump to the action. So where does everything start to go wrong?
So there's a weird musical number that happens where they're walking to an old folks home, again, another trope, and they're busting out Christmas carols as if they're all rehearsed and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And before I move forward, Natalie is very progressive thinking. She is not a fan of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Right, which we learn in the cab drive.
Correct.
Right.
She does not like that song at all. They end up, the whole family ends up at the old folks' home, and they perform a very rousing rendition of a Christmas song. Which one escapes me.
I don't even know.
But Owen has to be, the brother, Owen, has to be front and center the whole time. He's, he's harmonic.
He puts the star on the tree. He's the family hero. So he's going to sing all of the important stuff.
Yep.
But
as it turns out, after they were done, the people are asking for an encore, and they're like, who can go? So Josh says, well, Natalie and me can go. Mm-hmm. And it's determined that they're going to sing Baby It's Cold Outside.
And she's horrified. She's like, no way am I singing that. But he assures her,
it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. He's got an alternative version. And then on the spur of the moment, he changes all of his lyrics to make it politically correct.
Right. Like, you should go home. I'll call a cab for you.
It was actually an excellent, interesting, fun version of the song.
It was.
Hard to believe that he would come up with it momentarily.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's a battle between him and his brother over who's going to steal all of the attention at home. So his brother announces that he and his wife are having a baby.
Yep.
Because that takes all kinds of attention. Because
it was done right after the Baby It's Cold Outside song.
Yep. And so how does Josh...
So Josh tries to take the spotlight back by
proposing. Mm-hmm.
So he's bringing the relationship, the fake relationship, to the next level without warning anyone.
Right. And the grandmother hands over her ring because they didn't have a ring. And so now there's going to be an engagement party.
Yep.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well,
I wonder if they're going to have it at the restaurant that Tag's family owns.
That would be weird.
That would be, it's the big restaurant in town. So that would be one of those great people walking in one door and having to walk out other doors and all of that.
But before we get there, it should be known that before that, the family creates a newspaper ad.
Yes.
About the engagement.
Yes. They print a picture. There's an engagement announcement. And oh my God, Josh and Natalie can't let Tag see that.
Right.
So what are they to do?
They do what any normal person would do.
Right. They go around the town stealing every copy of the newspaper.
Right. And there's a Pretty in Pink that had the paper delivery guy?
Yes.
So there's a small homage to that.
Yes.
as they're loading up papers into their trunk, there's a kid in a bicycle that's trying to hunt them down.
Yes, because, you know, he's very angry at them for spoiling his job there.
So while they hide from this kid in Josh's car.
Filled with the newspapers.
Right. They're hunkered down in the back seat, out of view. And this is where they really connect.
Yes. So we see the moment where they're connecting. But now we're at the engagement party.
Right. Well, so before they get... So June, the grandmother, lures them away to the old folks' home to have a workshop about dating.
Yes. Teaching all of the people in the old folk home how to do their profiles.
Tinder profiles.
And that's where they learn, through listening to the old folks, all of the things they did wrong on their stuff.
Correct.
About being honest and not being honest.
For example, one guy's like, well, I don't want to mention that I should have Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, he's like, well, maybe I should just say I move around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to move.
I like to move.
Always on the move.
Always on the move. That's what it was. Always on the move.
So, all right. Let's get to the engagement party. Because this is where shit hits the fan.
Very much so.
So we're in the big steakhouse. By the way, she's a vegetarian and his tag's family owns a steakhouse. So just one more thing she's going to pretend about in order to win him over. And
It's also important to know that Natalie has not mentioned to Josh that part of the reason why she's there is to write the article.
Right. Right. So the boss shows up because he wants to witness this firsthand because he has heard through the grapevine what's going on and he knows that this is going to be a shit show.
Yeah. Everyone's a stalker.
Yeah. So anyway, her boss is there to see this all go down and shows up at the party. And there's a lot of French farce tropes that happen. For those of you who aren't familiar with French farce, it's always somebody walking out a door while somebody walks in and almost just missing each other and, you know, mistaken identity. So the party ends up happening like that, with Tag being like, oh my God, Josh is engaged.
I want
to meet his fiance. And then Tag's family is there going like, we can't wait to meet his new girlfriend that he loves so much. So it all blows up. You don't need to know every detail, but it all blows up. And she basically confesses in front of everybody everything that happened.
Yep. She emphasizes the plot of the movie.
Yep. She basically just lets it loose, apologizes to everyone. Everybody's mad. Tag basically says to her, you know, you lied to me and you catfished me, like, in your own way, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So off she goes back home to write a really terrible experience column. So her boss is super psyched and she's back home.
Yep. And, well, not yet, because she ends up staying at a hotel.
Does she? I don't know.
I think she writes the article at a hotel because she talks to the boss at the bar.
That's right. That's right.
Well, because my note was originally, who meets Natalie at the airport? Because when she was at the bar, I first thought it was the airport bar.
That's right. Yep. Nope. She's at the one hotel in...
Yeah, it's like a lodge.
Right, bar, like a B&B sort of thing. Okay. Continue.
So she ends up... You know, she talks to her boss. Her boss gives her sage advice.
Of course, as one does.
And she ends up writing the article overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And before she leaves, she just, her dating app pings her.
Oh, pings, right.
And says, there's a new profile in your area. Never heard that. I use them all and that doesn't happen. So she opens it and lo and behold,
it's the new and improved Josh profile that she helped him with earlier.
Including emphasizing his strengths.
Yes. And so what does she do? What any good wannabe girlfriend would do.
She doesn't swipe at all and just walks out.
And channels his favorite movie.
Love Actually.
And stands in his...
Sidewalk, walkway.
And they do a whole like takeoff on that scene where she's got signs. Only instead of saying, tell them it's carolers. Tell them it's Mormons. And the parents are like, okay, whatever.
We're not converting.
And then we have our big moment where...
You're not perfect, but you're perfect for me.
Yes. And
so the last card is Will You Be My Love, actually, or something like that, with, check one, yes or no. Mm-hmm. He takes the board, writes something that we don't see immediately, and to call back her favorite Christmas movie, Yippee-ki-yay,
Mother Fudger. Yes.
Yes.
And so they're together, and then just to wrap up some loose ends, his dad discovers his candles. He explains that they were, inspired by his grandfather who passed away, created a candle that smells just like him, and that they're dude candles. And, basically his dad is like, hey, do what you want. And that gets wrapped up. And
I'm proud of you. Yeah. You can leave
the family business, and it's all perfect.
You're bad at it.
Yeah.
That's really motivational.
Right. And it's all great. And so it sounds like at the end here, like we're picking on this, but I will say all of the performances were good.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely went along for the ride.
Yes.
And I found the dialogue believable, even if the scenarios were not necessarily. There was very few moments I went, oh, come on. There were a couple, but not very many. I really enjoyed it.
It was, I think, everything that goes into making a movie, the directing, the writing, the acting, the casting, everything was really well done. I think out of we're about halfway done with our
If I was gonna pick something to actually watch for myself, Love Actually, it would be Love Hard.
I think out of the however many we've done so far, this is my favorite.
I'm gonna give it a 9.
I'm at an 8.
That's pretty good for you.
It's the best one for me so far.
Yeah, so you don't require booze for this one, but it doesn't hurt.
No.
So
I think if I had booze, or if we were watching this together,
you might have gotten a 10.
I was this close to crying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
It was relatable. It hit home in many different ways. So.
And I really thought Jimmy Yang did a great job.
Yeah.
So, yippee-ki-yay, Mother Fudgers.
I don't know any lines from Love, actually.
And